This is Brother Billy. I want to say good morning to each one of you. Pray the Word of God's going to bless you today as we look into His Word in 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter. We're going to begin reading here. As the inspiration sing this song about being led by the Master's hand, we find it that Jonathan was led by the Master's hand too. And you know, we can be that. We can be inspired of God. We can be moved on by God. We can obey Him, and we can see Him do great exploits on our behalf. Watch now. As we began reading here, if you're brand new to the broadcast, we want to pray God's Word's going to bless you. If you're unsaved, the Lord can save you. And that's the message we're preaching today, that salvation's by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, lest any man should boast. And so we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. God has called us. God's ordained us. God has saved those that are saved. No man saved of himself. No man can earn it. No man can inherit it other than by the grace of God. It's not something that can be passed down from your earthly father or mother. It has to be received from heaven. And so we're the recipients of God's free grace. And that's what Jonathan understood, that if God wanted to, He could. And so we see it here as we began reading. Watch it now in 1 Samuel chapter 14. It came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600. Now I'm going to go down and skip for the sake of time here a little bit, down unto the sixth verse. And the word said, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over under the garrison of the uncircumcised. And it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is within thine heart. All that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I'm with thee according to thy heart. And Jonathan said, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say thus unto us, tarry until you come, we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And so as we watch this here, Jonathan understood, we're going to let God give us a sign of what to do. He never left God's leadership. And so as we find him here, Israel has suffered a great defeat. Israel is defeated. Every man has ran for his life. Saul's army is dispersed. And so as Saul goes into battle, we find it is not going good for the nation of Israel. And the Philistines have come in, and Saul's got about 600 men. And we find it that the Philistines had 300,000 men. And as you would know, it wasn't much of a battle. And so Saul has gone in his own accord. And then we find it back in chapter number 13, we find it that not only so did they go, but they went as an empty-handed army. They had no spears. They had no tools to sharpen their weapons. And so the word said this, that came to pass that in the day of battle there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and Jonathan, his son, was there found. So his army has no weapons. He has a weapon. His sons have weapons. But he has no weapon. The people have no weapon. And so it equates to people trying to go forward and do things without the weapons of our warfare. Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so Israel going forward without a weapon, there's not going to be much victory there, neither in the life of the believer. Without the word of God and the weapons of our warfare will there be victory. And so Saul is defeated. His army is scattered. Israel is in a very dark spot. But Jonathan has a word from God. And he's going to put a fleece, if you will, even as the fleece was placed before God in Judges chapter 6. Here, he's going to put a fleece before the Lord. And God's going to wet the fleece. Remember Gideon's fleece? And so in the 6th chapter of the book of Judges, he put the fleece out. And as he put it out, he prayed God that he would wet it. And God wet it. And the next night, I like what the word said. The next morning, he got up and he wrung it. He wringed water out of it. And so as he wringed water out of it, the Bible said it was a bowl full of water. But the ground was dry. But the fleece was wet. And the next night, he prayed God would wet the fleece or leave the fleece dry. And so God, the earth was wet and the fleece was dry. And so two nights, Gideon's fleece was out and God honored Gideon and answered what he asked him for. I'm glad that God answers prayer. He is a prayer answering God. He hears the cry of his children. And so here we're going to see where he's heard Jonathan's cry as well. And remember what Jonathan said in verse number 6. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. I don't want God to work against me. I want him to work for me, don't you? And so we want God on our side. And this is what he said. If God's on our side, he'll work for us. And so watch it now. For there is no restraint for the Lord, or to the Lord, to save by many or by few. God can save by a few people. He can save by one. Or he can save by a multitude. There's no restraint with him. God's able to do whatever he wants to do. He is a sovereign God. He rules and reigns. He can save men or he can damn them. He can save them or he can condemn them. He can work a work in their heart. If their heart's open to receive the work of God, he wants to save them. God desires to save you. But if you refuse his salvation work, if you refuse what Christ done on the cross, if you reject the shed blood of Calvary, then you leave God no choice. He cannot deny his son. And so therefore, if you choose to reject all God's provision for you, much like Jonathan here, God's made provision for him. We're going to read about it in just a moment. God's made provision for him. He put his fleece out, if you will, and God wet his fleece. But now if he don't obey what God's led him to do, if he don't go in Jesus' name, if he doesn't fight in the name of his God and honor him, then what's going to happen? Blessings will not flow. See, there has to be, God does the work, but there has to be obedience to the call. Every person that's ever received salvation, they receive it, and God inspires them to be obedient to it. And that's what happens. It's much like a child that is born. That child is birthed. It is birthed because of the mother that births it. When God saves a sinner is saved because God births us into the kingdom of God. But when God births us, he gives us a spirit of obedience to obey. Even as God gives that child that's born of his mother's womb the spirit to cry. And so if that child is healthy, when it's born, it's going to cry. It's going to make noise. And that child is coming forth with the umbilical cord. All three of ours had one. I'm sure yours did too. If they didn't have one, it's not going to be a nice thought. And so they have one because they're born of their mother. Jesus dealt with Nicodemus about the new birth. And he said that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And so there is a birthing into the kingdom of God. We are born into the family of God. We don't join it. Oh no, we don't join it. It's a new birth. You know, in the Old Testament, the heathen could come by and they could join themselves unto Israel. But in the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the new birth, every person that comes will have to be born again. And so except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so it's not joining the church, and it's not joining good things and good clubs and good people. It's being joined unto Christ through the new birth experience, even as that babe is born of its mother and joined unto the mother. And so watch this now. In this new birth, what happens when the child comes forth, the first impression, the first intuition of that child is to cry. That's God's preparation work. And then that child is going to look for the nursing of that mother. And so the bonding there. See, this is what happens. This is why Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes that you desire the sincere milk of the word. And so we're new babes in Christ. We're born of Christ. And even as that new babe desires the milk of its mother. I like to watch the calves as the calves, the same day they're born normally, if they're healthy, that calf, that newborn calf will get up on those weak, shaky legs. You've seen it. They'll get up on the weak, shaky legs and they will look for the nursing tit of that mother. And they'll nuzzle around and sometimes they behind her and sometimes they too far to the front, but they're looking. Thank God every believer that's born of Christ is looking for the Word of God. If they're birthed, there is an intuition inside of that person God saved. It doesn't matter if they're 85 or 8. God has put something on the inside that causes us to desire His Word. Jonathan desired a Word from God. And so we're going to see where God gave him a Word. And so I like this. The Lord gave the Word. Psalm 68:11 said, and great was the company of those that publish it. And all we're doing today is publishing God's Word. We have no banner to beat. We have no drum. We have none of those things. We only want to share the Word of God. Why? Because the Lord gave the Word. See, this is what we're preaching today is not our Word, it's His Word. And so the Lord gave the Word, and great was the company of those that published it. God, let us publish His Word today. To publish it is to tell it. It's not always in print. You know, we think today that's print. But as we find in the New Testament, that the sayings of Jesus were published everywhere. People were carrying them. They didn't have printers back then, but they were carrying the Word of God. They were telling it everywhere they went. And God, help us to do that today. So the newborn babe, as Peter said, is going to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Not just any. No, they don't want watered down milk. They want the sincere. Did you see it? The sincere milk of the Word. God, give us the true milk of His Word. God, give it to us, black, white, red, white, Word of God as it reads. Listen, the King James Bible's been here 400 plus years. And it's got the job done. And those men were inspired of God. They weren't like so many things today that people read that are not true word for word translations. And so we talked, somebody brought it up to me the other day, the fact that the NIV has eradicated, left out, taken out, stolen 64,000 words out of the Word of God. And so that's not a true word. We want the sincere. I'm bringing this up because of what Peter said. He said we want the sincere milk of the Word. And so, you know, those little calves, sometimes they can live off the store-bought stuff. But mama's sincere milk is so much better. And so they get what they need. The first day or so, they have to have the nutrients of the colostrum that causes them to be healthy, to be immune to so much sickness. We need the sincere milk of the Word. And so here, Jonathan, as he encourages his servant, thank God he had a servant that stayed by his side. He had a servant that loved him, cared for him, went with him. And so watch what he said. He said, we'll pass over these men and we're going to discover ourselves unto them. That was a lot of risk. But he understood that God was alive and well. And he went by divine inspiration of God. And it wasn't conventional. Sometimes people say, well, that's not conventional. Well, God's people don't always work in the conventional. Jonathan exposed himself to this army that was against them, the Philistines. And so he said, we're going to discover ourselves. And as they went, he said, tarry, if they say, it's all going to hinge on what they say. Now see this, he said, if they say unto us, tarry here and stand still, or tarry until we come unto you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say, see this, I like this, brother, you talk about faith, you talking about being divinely inspired. Jonathan is listening to God, and he said, we're going to base it upon what they say. And so here, he wasn't, listen, licking his finger and sticking it up in the wind, taking a poll. No, he wasn't doing that. He was hearing God. He knew that it determined what God would say to him would be determined by what those said to him. And so he understood this. And this is not taking a poll and trying to be politically correct. That's not what Jonathan's doing. He is in touch with God, and he says, we're going to hear what they say for the Lord. But if they say, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign. Gideon waited for the sign of the fleece. Joshua waited for the sign, and God caused the sun to stand still. And others waited for the sign. God gave it to them. Now, we don't always have to have a sign to hear the word of God. But Jonathan said, this will be a sign unto us. And the both of them discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, that word means look, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes. And so what they were saying were they went and hid themselves under the rocks and in the holes because we put an old-fashioned whipping on them. And they did put a whipping on them. And they scattered them. And we get that. But here, they're making light. And Jonathan and his servant, they're just listening to what God said. They're waiting on the Lord. And they're falling right into their hands. And the word said, the men of the garrison answered Jonathan, watch now, and his armor-bearer. I'm glad the armor-bearer heard it too, aren't you? It would have been fine if Jonathan would have heard it, but I'm glad the armor bearer heard it too. Thank God there's nothing like a confirmation. And so they said just what they prayed they would say. They said, come up to us. Jonathan didn't mind being made light of, humiliated, talked about. He's okay with that as long as he can hear the word of God. I think it's important that believers take off their little sensitive britches and get their big boy pants on and their big girl pants on and quit being so sensitive about every little thing. And so we find it here that Jonathan, he's listened to their ridicule and probably sneered and jeered and laughed at him. But that's fine. If he can hear the word of God, that's all he needs. And so when they said these words, these four words, come up to us. That's what Jonathan's waiting upon. And they said, we'll show you a thing. But what they didn't know was God was going to show them a thing. And God was going to reveal a great defeat unto the Philistines. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord, not Jonathan, not Saul, not the armies of Israel, the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And we see this now. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. Thank God for a faithful armor bearer. And after the first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. I like this. You know, the word of God is so filled with things, simple things to help me. I don't know about you, but I'm simple. I'm simple of understanding. And the word of God does a great job of helping people understand his word. People say it's hard to understand. No, it's actually easy to understand if we apply ourselves to it and read it, study it, give attention and time to it. And there was trembling, verse 15, in the host and in the field among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. And watch now, and the earth quaked, and so it was a very great trembling. The earthquake, did you hear that? God shook the earth for one person, two people, one man and his armor bearer that was willing to obey God. God caused the sun to stand still for Joshua for a whole day. God caused that. And so God causes great things. God caused the Red Sea to congeal for Moses. God caused the Jordan River to stand up in a heap. He congealed it just as he did the Red Sea. He'd done that for the children of Israel. And you know what happened? They went over on dry ground. They didn't walk through the mud. The word of God said it's dry ground. And I believe it's what it was, don't you? If God said it, I believe it. If God said they went on dry ground, then I trust that not one of those Israelites had mud in their sandals when they got to the other side. Because God worked. When the word said that God sent an earthquake, That's what he done. And you know what happened? The Bible said there was a trembling in the host, and the spoilers, they also trembled. Now, God didn't just shake the earth. That's not the only trembling they're talking about. They're talking about the trembling in their hearts, the trembling that caused them to flee. And the word said, watch, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on. I'm going to show you what God can do. You said, preacher, God can't do great. He can't take on 300,000. I'm telling you, the word said right here, they went on beating down one another. Now remember, Jonathan had a weapon, but one weapon alone is not going to defeat 300,000. And so God takes these great armies, and he turns them one against another, and they just fight one another. Don't even know. It's much like how God confounds the devil, and God brings to naught the wisdom of this world. And so this world, what happens? It seems like it just fight one another and don't even know, you know, this agenda, this motive, that motive. And so it's just a lot of hysteria. And this is what was going on in the land of the Philistines. The word said the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. God can cause the things that look like unsurmountable obstacles in your life, God can cause them to melt away. I like that. Verse 16, you ought to understand that. And then Saul said unto the people, number now and see who's gone from us. And they numbered. Now here's confirmation. You said it had to be more than just Jonathan and his armor bearer. No way God could do that with two people. But the word said right here, when they numbered the people, you know who was missing? It wasn't a great army. No, they didn't have hundreds to account for. They didn't have dozens to account for. The only one they had to account for, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer was not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah the priest, bring hither the ark of God. And so watch now, go down into verse number 21. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in the Mount of Ephraim. Watch, this is what happens. When God gives us courage, you know what it'll do? It'll encourage the weak. It'll encourage the scared. It will encourage those that are afraid. Many people are waiting on somebody to take God's courage and take his word. And so as Jonathan did that, his daddy didn't, as Jonathan and his armor bearer did, watch the result down into 22. All the men of Israel which had hid themselves, remember, they fled for their life. And so they're hiding in the rocks, they're hiding in the dens, they're hiding in the holes. Anywhere they can find a place to get, they have run like a scared rabbit. And when they have heard what God is doing, when they have heard that every man's sword was against his fellow, when they came, verse 20 said, when they came to the battle and saw there was a very great discomforter, right? It's talking about how the Philistines are fighting one another. God can cause your enemies to destroy one another. America will be great when it's on God's side. It will not be great. You know, this whole Iranian treaty, whatever they want to call it, this agreement, this Iranian agreement that everybody's getting fuzzy about and getting goose pimples about. Oh, how wonderful it is. I tell you, without God, none of those things matter, because the enemy will not tell you the truth, and the enemy is not going to be. I'm amazed at how when the children of Israel got out of the will of God, oftentimes they would lean unto an enemy that they just had battle with, but now all of a sudden they're their friend. And you know, what happened was normally those, whether it was the Assyrians or the Egyptians or whoever it was, those that they took confidence in were not the ones that were really going to help them at all. The Syrians maybe. And so we find that the Amalekites, sometimes they turn to the Amalekites. We watch this. It's amazing how our country today, not the people, because there's a lot of good godly people across America that's holding this whole outfit together. Not the people, but the politicians. How many of those in authority What happens? When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. And so we see that in Proverbs, and it's so true today. And so they're talking about what a great agreement this is. A great agreement, but it's not a great agreement at all. And so we see it, that those that sometimes we think, okay, they used to be against us, but now they're for us. No, they're not. And so here, what happened? God has moved in this matter. And so as we see it, America today is trusting in something, anything. They'll trust an Iranian. They'll trust the Iranian government before they will trust the God of the Bible. They will trust the Russians before they'll trust God. They'll trust anybody but God. Do you see the problem? And so here, the word said that all the men of Israel had hid themselves. And the word said, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed. Now they got courage now. And it's because Jonathan has heard the word of God. And they've obeyed God. And they've went in the name of God. And they've put a fleece out before God. And God wet the fleece. And the very thing they asked God to let them say, they did say. And they knew God was there. See, it's faith. Faith is the operation of God. We operate by faith. We live by faith. And Paul said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so as Jonathan heard it, he saw it, God brought it to pass. You know, it's something about this. God can bring it to pass. Because we walk by faith does not mean God won't let us see it. God won't let us hear it. And so when they heard it, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they, the two words I want to key in verse 22, even they, even the fearful of heart, even the frightful, said, hey, if God's going to do it, we want to go. But as long as they were getting the britches whipped off of them, they were fleeing and running. God wants leadership. God wants those that'll hear him, those that'll pray, those that'll ask him, those that'll seek him. God wants those. And when those do that, God will move. And the word said here in 22, the last verse we want to talk about. So the Lord saved Israel that day. God saved them. And you know what that means? He delivered them. Now we, in a saving relationship with the Lord, when God saves a sinner, they're saved. If the Lord saves them, if he births them, they're birthed. Jesus has never lost one of his disciples, not one. Not one young'un that God ever saved. You say, what about Judas? Judas was not saved. Judas was called, but he wasn't saved. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Jesus taught very clearly like this in his prayer to the Father. He said, all that you give me, I've lost none of them. And so accept the son of perdition that the word of God might be fulfilled. See, Jesus made that point. That Judas only fulfilled the word of God. There was no true disciples, no saved people lost. And so when we see this, I want you to see this. I'm getting away from the point, but let's get back to the point. The point is, God saved Israel that day. Now here, Israel was God's people. We are God's people, but you know what we need? We need the deliverance of God, even as they needed it. They needed deliverance from the Philistine, deliverance from the Assyrian, on and on, the Egyptian. And as God delivered them, that's what salvation is. It's deliverance. And so here is God saved Israel that day. Even so, we will fight the battle for God, and we will need God's strength and God's hand and God's power and God's leadership in the Christian walk. And without that, the Christian walk will be filled with even more defeat than maybe we're already seeing. We have to have God. And this is what this says. This says that we have to have him. We have to have his divine leadership. We have to have his hand. We have to have his power. And we have to be able to hear him. God help the believer to stay where we can hear him. The Lord. So the Lord, not Jonathan. The Lord saved Israel. And as you watch this, you're going to see this. Jonathan's life was filled with humility. His life was filled with obedience, even unto his dying day. Jonathan was the son of Saul, who brought glory to his father. He didn't bring shame. He was one that honored his father, even died with his father. And his father went away of disobedience, but Jonathan stayed true. He stayed true to the Lord. You know, it says something about this. We can't blame others for our relationship with God. We can't say it's because of this one or that one. It's because of what my parents did or didn't do. It's because of, you know, the way other people treat me. It's not that. It's not that. We see it as Saul went further from God. Jonathan stayed with the Lord. And God wrought a great deliverance through his hand. And God can do it for you today. Whatever you're dealing with, God can do it. He wants to do it. If we'll seek him, if we'll ask him, if we'll be a willing vessel, God can and he will. Let's go to him in prayer and ask him to move on your behalf today. Whatever it is, whatever the need is, God knows it. And God knows how to meet it. Father, today we pray your word would move. We pray you would speak. God, we pray you would come by. Ask you, Lord, to blow upon this word, upon this message, and send it forth. God, to the heart that needs it today, I pray your word would strengthen. God, give resolve, give courage, give hope. Lord, to those, Father, that face the enemy, I pray you would embolden. I pray you'd raise up some Jonathans, God, that would trust you, that would ask you and seek you, and God, be willing to go in Jesus' name. Father, stir your church. Encourage the weak of heart. God, empower those, Lord, that have no faith, those that are hiding, God, behind the pew, even as those hid behind the rocks and in the holes. God, those that hide behind and wait for others to lead. God, I pray you give them strength and courage. Empower them, Lord. God, take a brand new believer today and empower them to go forward and do great exploits. Lord, I love it where your word said that we shall do valiantly, Lord. And that's what we see in Jonathan's life. Make it true in our life today. Lead, guide, and direct. We'll give you praise for all you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Until this time next week, may God richly bless you is our prayer.